the key to succeeding in marriage is not finding the right person. It's learning to love the person you found. So the truth is that most people, that when they're asking themselves whether or not they married the right person, they're asking the wrong question, because there are certain principles and practices that are the key to making a connection with your spouse. And it's you employing those principles and practices that determines that connection.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. When we retire, how much time have you put into planning what you're going to do when you retire? And it can be different for both partners, and it can be a deal breaker as well. If you get busy going off playing golf all the time and you're not sharing any activities, perhaps you may need to think about what your relationship is going to be now that you have all this time together. After many years of working, you may have gotten used to not being together all the time. So it's important that we take some time to look at this situation, because it could end up being an issue that can be a real deal breaker. The guest today is the founder of the Marriage Fitness Program, Mort Fertel. Mort Fertel is a leading authority on the psychology of relationships with a global reputation for saving marriages. He's the creator of Marriage Fitness, a relationship renewal system that has saved millions of couples from marital crisis. Mort is also the author of the book Marriage Fitness: 4 Steps to Building and Maintain Phenomenal Love. Mort is here today to share his proven strategies for creating a fulfilling, successful relationship. Welcome, Mort.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Anne.
That is a really, really interesting topic. You must be really popular. Is this something that you've grown into, this field? What did you start off in life doing, and what happened that changed your life, changed your direction in life?
Yeah, I've had a very eclectic career, and I got into this kind of by accident. My wife and I, we had a normal, what I thought was healthy marriage for a period of time. And then we experienced some tragedy in our life. We had a son who died when he was just a baby. And then we had 2 daughters who also died. And that experience really threw our marriage into crisis. And we reached out for help in kind of the typical ways. You know, my wife learned about Mars. I learned about Venus. We went to the traditional marriage counseling. But no matter where we turned, we found that the help we were being offered was trying to focus us on our problems and issues. And we found that, you know, they were asking, like, what's wrong? And we found that the more we focused on what was wrong, the more we experienced the negativity of our situation, and the worse things got. Like, it kind of just transferred the argument from the kitchen table into their office. And we walked out of there feeling worse than we did when we started. We did not find the whole process, the whole experience, to be productive at all. It was not very practical. It was not very user-friendly. It was like, oh, how do you feel? And can you repeat back to me? And it was just a lot of like psychobabble that just wasn't really results oriented. And then make a long story short, because I know we don't have that much time, but we ended up putting our problems and issues aside and instead just working on building good marital habits that created goodwill in our relationship. In other words, instead of fixing what was wrong, we just decided to try to make new things right. And it turned out that that worked like unbelievable. Now, when I'm articulating it fairly clearly now, or at least I think I am, I hope I am. But at the time, we weren't like starting some marriage program. We were just like living. We were just like trying anything. But in retrospect, after we got through it, we really felt like we had a responsibility to try to help people in marital crisis. And we were horrified at the kind of help that was available to people out there. So we ended up creating this program called the Marriage Fitness Telebootcamp. I wrote a book. It ended up getting a lot of attention, was endorsed by Stephen Covey and John Gray. And the whole methodology was put in the national news. And that really started about, 16 years ago, a whole nother career for me. And since then, I've been leading this Marriage Fitness Telebootcamp, which is a program that can be accessed by anybody anywhere in the world. And I also do private sessions with people, full-day house calls where I visit them and also via phone.
Wow. It's just amazing what you have created. And to focus on the positive side of things is so very important, because there's no point in focusing on the negative, that's for sure.
Not only is there no point, but it's actually not really the problem. It's like, imagine firefighters going to a fire, and instead of putting water on the fire, they put fans on the smoke. Right? It just makes things worse. The smoke is not the problem. The fire is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, generally when you're speaking about communication techniques and problem solving and conflict resolution, that's the smoke. It's not the fire. The fire is the lack of connection between a husband and wife. And unless you're working on rebuilding that connection, then your effort is misdirected.
Mm. Can you find that this can happen at any time in your life, though you're not necessarily like 7 years married? It could happen at any age, even to older people.
Not only can it, but it often does. I mean, now over the last 16 years, I've dealt with, thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have been in marital crisis. And they get there at all sorts of times and in all sorts of ways. There are people that are feeling controlled, feeling unappreciated, infidelity, betrayal, financial betrayal, neglect. The list goes on and on and on. It doesn't matter how many years you've been married or how old you are. Nobody is immune to these kinds of problems.
Mm.
And a decent percentage of the people I work with are retired or approaching retirement age, no question.
Mm. I suppose the stigma about getting divorced or separating isn't as great as what it used to be. I know in the early years it was just something that you didn't do unless it was an absolute disaster. But it's easier, I suppose, for people to break up than it used to be.
That's true. Definitely true. And there are lots of things now giving people more options, more freedom, and less resistance to exiting their marriage. Unfortunately, that often translates into them making less of an effort. The fact that people have more options and more freedom is not inherently a bad thing. But when and if it leads people to making less of an effort to heal and reconcile and stay together, then I think that's problematic and detrimental.
Mm.
I mean, we're not talking here about a toaster oven. Okay, it doesn't work well. I'll return it and get another one. There's a marriage. There's a family. It's a sacred relationship. I'm not saying people shouldn't get divorced. Sometimes they should. But it should only be after making a Herculean effort to really try to keep things together and improve the relationship.
Mm. Very true. Can you give us some tips, I suppose, about principles and truths to do with relationship success?
Sure. There are dozens and dozens of them that I teach in my program, but I can give you a couple of examples. So first of all, just like in anything in our life that we want to be competent at, there are things that are important to do, and then there's things important not to do. So, for example, if you're a doctor, it's important not to drink on the job, right? And it's important to do continuing education to stay abreast of the most recent procedures and methodologies, just as an example. So too in marriage. They're important. It's important that there are things that not to do and things to do. So let me give you an example of each. I'll start with not to do. Something I call the three C's. What are the three C's? The three C's are criticize, condemn, and complain. My advice about the three C's is very simple. Don't do it. Everybody does it, and everybody means well. Your heart's in the right place. You think this is going to work. You think it's going to effectuate change. You want it to effectuate change. But be honest. Check your marital history. Have you ever criticized, condemned, or complained to your spouse, and it was productive? It was effective. It got the change you were looking for. No, the answer is no. It never works that way. People get defensive. People get annoyed. People attack back. And change does not happen in that way. It only pollutes more the marriage with more negativity. Mm. And so we should never, ever criticize, condemn, or complain. Now, of course, that raises the question, and it's a good question. So what should I do when I'm feeling disappointed, upset, angry, whatever? Okay, it's a fair question. And I have answers to that question, which I teach in the program. But no matter what the answer to that question is, that doesn't give somebody the right or license to criticize, condemn, or complain. Like, regardless of what the answer to that question is, and no matter how satisfied you might be with it, it doesn't make criticizing, condemning, or complaining any more effective. It's not effective. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now here's a what to do. Wherever we invest our time and our energy, that's where we connect. If somebody's out every weekend polishing their car with a magnifying glass, eventually they're going to feel a real connection to this car. I love my car. I feel close to my car. Oh my God, my car got into an accident. Yeah, I'm freaking out. Why? Because the time, the energy, the attention to detail makes them feel attacked. Whereas somebody else that's just driving a car that they don't really care about, they could get in the same accident. Okay, it's annoying. It's an inconvenience, but I'm not attached to this car. I'll get another one. We have to invest time and energy into our marriage. Too often people get married and all the time and the energy that they put into the relationship when they were dating that resulted in them deciding to get married goes out the window. And that time and energy now gets diverted to work, to kids, to the house, to chores. And people end up leading parallel lives. And that's a recipe for a lack of connection and ultimately divorce. Instead, you want to invest real time and energy in your relationships. And there's multiple ways to do that. I'll just give you one quick example. It's as old as the hills, but what is common sense is not common practice, and that is date night. You have to spend a few hours a week focused on your spouse, out of the house, not with anybody else at some social occasion, not with your phones, not at a movie where you're paying attention to something else, but actually facing each other, talking to each other, laughing with each other, interacting with each other. And a marriage cannot be successful unless there's that block of time that we spend together at least on a weekly basis.
Mm. It sounds very logical, doesn't it? And I'm sure we've all been guilty of some of the crimes that you talked about there with the three C's. It's fascinating. I suppose we think we're helping the other person by giving them advice, but it comes out the wrong way, that's for sure.
You do, you always, you never. That's not advice.
I see. It's very interesting. I've heard some retirees say that if one partner retires before the other, they get set in their activities. And then when the other partner retires, there's no time left in their life because they've already, say, the husband retired first and he goes off and plays golf with his buddies nearly every day of the week, and then the wife retires second, there's a disconnect in the time allowance that they've allowed. So what you're saying about the date nights must be very important.
It's also very important that when there's something important in your spouse's life, like, for example, golf, it shouldn't be something separate from your marital life. I mean, it can be something that is sometimes separate, but it should be something that you sometimes participate in some ways. That doesn't mean you have to be a great golfer like your spouse, and it doesn't mean you have to go play golf every single time that they go. But you should find a way for golf to be part of your marital life sometimes in some way. So, for example, maybe you would go play golf with your spouse a couple of times a month. Or maybe you would go and just drive the cart to be with your spouse a couple of times a month. Maybe occasionally you would pack your spouse a lunch, like for their golf outing. These are just examples, but you have to make a connection with them over the things that are important to them and not just have it be something that separates or divides you.
That's important. I know that while we're raising the families, they can occupy a lot of our time, and it can be very easy to give the children most of your spare time. And what you're saying is valid as well, that we have to make time for each other.
100%. And I mean, I know we're speaking mostly to retirees, but those retirees have access to their children who are raising children. And so I encourage you to tell your children that the greatest thing they can do for their children, that is your grandchildren, is have a great marriage. Because the most important thing for children is that they grow up in a home where the mother and father love each other, and that those children see that love, and that makes them feel safe. And that also is a tremendous education to them about how they should operate in their marriage when they grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, lead by example, that's for sure. I see you've also got here on the interview topics, how do you know if you've married the right person? I'd be interested to hear your comments on that.
Sure. I know we just have a couple of minutes and it's a long discussion, but in short, the key to succeeding in marriage is not finding the right person. It's learning to love the person you found. So the truth is that most people, that when they're asking themselves whether or not they married the right person, they're asking the wrong question, because there are certain principles and practices that are the key to making a connection with your spouse. And it's you employing those principles and practices that determines that connection, not this like mysterious compatibility. I call this compatibility issue the compatibility myth. Well, I don't know, Mort, we're not compatible. It has nothing to do with compatibility. It has to do with the fact that you don't know how to be married. You don't know how to operate as a husband or a wife. You're behaving in ways that are predictable to destroy any marriage, no matter who you're married to. And the reverse is true also, that if you understand how to operate in a marriage, what are the principles and practices that drive and create that connection? And when you employ those principles and practices, you are highly likely to make a connection with that person. Now, I'm not going to say no matter who you're married to, but we don't need to go there, because this is an audience of retirees that are married. This is not an audience of people that are in their 20s and dating. The advice that I would give to my kids who might be dating soon would be different than the advice I give to the people already married. If you're already married, so there was already an attraction somewhere between you. There were already some commonalities between you. And what happened was you lost your connection. And again, you need to restore that connection, not by falling in love with somebody else, but by employing principles and practices that can recultivate that connection with your spouse.
Thank you for sharing that. I find it fascinating. I've heard people say that they're looking for love, and I've also heard that you can't find something that you don't already have. that if you're not a loving person, you're not going to be able to find it out there unless you've already know how to be a loving person.
So that was just a beautiful restatement of what I said a few moments ago. But that was exactly the point that I was making.
Yep.
Your words are learning how to be a loving person. And that's true. The question is, what are the principles and practices of a loving person? In other words, the problem with words like love is that they're so abstract. And what does it really mean? You know, again, generally people think that love is a mystery and, you know, you have to be lucky in love. We have these silly phrases that describe this romantic experience that really is just not true. It's a myth. You don't have to be lucky in love. You have to be smart. And there's nothing mysterious about it. Being a loving person, you're right. But the question is, what does that mean? So I gave you a couple of examples, but it's important to realize there are dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of principles and practices to employ in a marriage that would make you a loving person. The problem is that people tend to think of it in just a very abstract way. Yeah, he or she is very loving, he or she's not loving. But what does that really mean? And how do you know? Because they're nice, because they're warm? I mean, it goes so much beyond that. I'll give you an example of a nuance that people don't appreciate. Very often people think that they are trustworthy. Why doesn't my husband trust me? Why doesn't my wife trust me? It doesn't make any sense. I'm trustworthy. Really? And then I explore some of their behaviors, or really, I'll explore it with their spouse, and I'll find out that they're behaving in suspicious ways. Now, they may not be doing anything wrong, but to be trustworthy, you have to not only do the right thing, but you have to be beyond suspicion. And to breach the trust in my marriage, I don't have to make a mistake. I just have to look like I'm making a mistake. Suspicious behavior destroys the trust in a relationship. And at the same time that someone's claiming that they're a trustworthy person, they'll also say foolish things like, you know, if she's suspicious, that's her problem, not mine. I didn't do anything wrong. And that's just ignorant. I mean, when I say it's ignorant, meaning it's ignorant of the way trustworthiness works. You cannot be suspicious and be trustworthy. It just, those two don't go hand in hand. So again, I get worried about these big words like love, trust, respect, because I'm not sure that we really know what we're talking about when we use them. And so in my program and in my teachings and everything I do, I try to make these concepts very practical and concrete. Because if we don't know how to translate them into our behavior, then we won't get the results we're looking for in our relationship.
All right. Well, thanks very much for explaining that, Maud. I know you've mentioned your program a few times, so would you like to just spend a minute explaining how you work with people and how listeners can get in touch with you?
Sure. So the first step that most people take is they subscribe to my free report, 7 Secrets to Fixing Your Marriage. It's totally free and it's great information. You can get it on my website at mortfertel.com. And once you subscribe, you'll get my free report and you'll also learn a little bit more about the marriage fitness methodology and what I do and how you can access my help. The way most people end up accessing my help beyond the free report is by joining the Marriage Fitness Telebootcamp. And this is a multimedia program that you can access online that gives you step-by-step instructions for how to reconcile your marriage. And it uses workbooks and teleconferences and audio files and like all kinds of convenient ways to get advice and absorb the information.
What's the best website to go to?
Mortfertel.com. M-O-R-T-F like Frank, E-R-T-E-L.com. But my work is not local. I deal with people from all over the world. You know, even when I do private sessions, most of them are either via phone or I do full day intensive house calls where I fly to wherever the couple is located and spend a full day with them.
Thanks for sharing. It's a really important role that you're playing, and it seems as though you've helped so many people already. And thank you very much for sharing your message. And it seems like any marriage can be helped.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed being here.
Thank you.
Take care.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.